You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
This is completely BS. This is shame. They had to win tonight? If that's the case, just let us know so we don't show up for the game. Just give them a win.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, man. Hour number 2 on Dukes and Bell. Carl on vacay for a couple days, so we got Chris Thomas in for him today. Friday and Thursday, we're on the road. Thursday, we're going to be at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Rob Tribble's going to be in. That's 2 B's, the extra B for Bad Boy. And then Friday, we're down in Buckhead. So it's going to be Twin Peaks, and then a great place to watch your March Mayhem and catch the hoops action. You've got a big day for you tomorrow, don't you, mister?
The next 2 days, as a matter of fact.
I'm passing the baton to Chris, an event I started, a tradition unlike any other, 20-some-odd years ago, and that is watching college hoops at the Cheetah. So strap in, buddy boy. You know your dress shorts for this one?
I have. You know what, Mike? It's funny. I laid out my outfits for the next 2 days because I know I do have to look nice. Yep. I almost sent a picture of my pair of jeans to you guys.
Nice.
Because I knew you guys would appreciate
now,
it.
Now, I don't want to say that all producers dress like slobs, but all producers dress like slobs.
It's part of the job.
Oren, your thoughts? Oh, no, sorry, your mic doesn't work. But anyway, it's just there is kind of a look. When you go to like a Final Four or March, you know, or the Super Bowl weekend, and you look at the radio row, you can always identify the producers. They're the ones that literally were voted most likely to stalk Jodie Foster by their high school class.
Well, it's a badge of honor that we wear, Mike, loud and proud, because one of the things about being a radio producer is that you can wear basketball shorts to work, and it is a beautiful thing.
That is true.
And I take full advantage of that every day.
Maybe like a dress, a little cummerbund over the shorts or something just to snazz it up.
But nope, I'm wearing jeans and a button-down. How about that?
Chris, Randy, Mac, Cajun Bo Johnson's going to be out there. Going to be a lot of fun, man, at Alubia.
And Abe, I'm going to get to watch Abe Gordon do his thing at a strip club. Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's funny because I'm 55, and as you guys have been listening to me over the years here in Atlanta, I spent a lot of time at the Cheetah. Matter of fact, Carl still tells the story about the first time I took him there. I'm like, I haven't been here in a while. I was like, hey, Mike Bell over here. Give him a big shout out. I was like, yes, I am familiar with some of the folks there, but you guys are going to have a ball. But again, if I had someone to guess would take the lampshade, that would be Abe. In other words, for those younger guys who don't know what that metaphor euphemism means, I mean, the guy who gets schnockered and makes a complete fool of himself.
Well, if his performance is anything like it was at the 92.9 The Game night, dance routine. I think we can all be in for a hoot nanny there.
That's a good pull. Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell, hour number 2. This portion of the show is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Let's do an NFL blitz.
Welcome to the NFL.
With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
Blitz brought to you by Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. All right, the big story today is what's not happening, and that is the Buckeyes Pro Day in Columbus. And Maserati Marvin Harris, as Gus Johnson would call him, is not going to run, not going to do anything.
In a garage today.
Yeah, and it was one thing when he said that, I'm going to miss the combine. Some people said, okay, you know, we know the logic. You want to be catching footballs from people you're familiar with. You want to do stuff in your own facility. You show out. But people are saying, is this now a red flag? As you said, the Maserati's in the garage. Is this a red flag to some personnel people around the league that he's not showing out? And he maybe feels his 40 time would somehow hurt his stock.
You know, it's funny because I saw a mock draft today that had Malik Nabers going ahead of Maserati Marvin Harrison. And that's because Malik Nabers is playing ball. And I don't know if it will affect his draft status ultimately, but to make it to this point, Mike, where it even could, why would you put yourself in that situation? I don't understand.
Yeah, and I felt if you are the guy, look, the tape does speak for itself. The good dude's been the for my money, the biggest money wide receiver out there. You saw his impact on the semifinal game at Mercedes-Benz 2 years ago. But, yeah, there's a couple of articles out there. I just saw Mina Kimes just tweeted out saying this could be a red flag, you know, for some personnel guys. Then there's this counter. Our buddy Coleman, who listens to us and follows on Twitter, says maybe he's choosing to let his stock drop so he doesn't get picked by a bad organization.
It's not going to fall that far.
That's the thing. I mean, how far do you expect him to go? And by the way, you know, once you get through some of the teams that are perceived as bad teams, you get to some of the teams which are just going through a rough patch right now, but are Super Bowl championship teams, like the New York Football Giants. You know, I mean, the Vikings haven't won it, but they've been there. It would be interesting. The Bears, by the way, Roma Dunze, to pal around with Keenan Allen. Imagine that. If you are Caleb Williams, having those guys to throw to. And again, Justin Fields would be in Pittsburgh going, what happened?
Yeah,
where was that for me?
They traded Pittsburgh, ironically, too. Traded their best receiver this offseason, Deontay Johnson. He gone.
Right. That's right. So Marvin Harrison on many mock drafts was a lock to the Cardinals at 4. He may still be. But some people are saying this is much to do about nothing. Or now you start to say, does this guy actually believe his zzz doesn't stink? Or is there a real issue with the 40 time that would indeed, to Chris's point, put Malik Nabers higher up than him? Our boy Daniel Jeremiah has got him as a better rated athlete, even though we've seen Harrison, you know, make every catch possible, including almost win the get themselves in a championship game against Georgia 2 years back.
I just don't understand why, if I'm his camp and I'm advising him, why would you do anything, and I mean anything, to potentially hurt your draft stock and cost you money? This is what it's all about for these kids. It's one of their first chances in life to earn a real, real life-changing paycheck, and you're going to choose to not do the drills and potentially hurt yourself?
Yeah, look, his dad knows something about the NFL, and look, the only thing you are doing, in all seriousness, you are potentially dropping down in the guaranteed portion. You guys know it's all pretty much slated and laid out.
Yep.
But if you fall, like, not that he's ever going to fall out of the top 10, but once you start to do that, you're into a whole other level of loot and the bonuses and everything else. So it does kind of seem a bit counterproductive.
Is there a world?
He's no, there. No, no,
yeah,
no.
You cut me off, Vince. Yeah, no, you knew it.
Now, if you, all right, guys, all right. You got a poll question now. Here's your poll question to get people fired up on the heels of yesterday. By the way, what was the winner position yesterday? Edge rush?
Oh, far and away.
Okay. We'll put this up at Dukes and Bell 929 during the commercial break because Chris is hosting a radio show right now. But would you, if Marvin Harrison's his antics, his refusal to run and train and show the studs and show the scouts what a stud he is, if he falls to 8, could you pass up Marvin Harrison? Even though... Oof. Some people like me would say, my God, are we ever going to draft an edge rusher? Because then you really got to cobble together the other what we did last year. Come up with 13 sacks by proxy with like Bud Dupree and a Calais Campbell type deal.
Does that instantly make you the best wide receiving room in the NFL?
Well, as much as I'd argue against it, because you know me, going back to Thomas Dimitroff, I'm always like, trenches, offensive line, defensive line. If you got Drake London with the speed element we put in and you brought in a Marvin Harrison, you have got a delivery system which is super reliable. The offensive line holds up and you got Bijan, then your defense will be better. You get back to that, we call it the 2016 business model. You're scoring 31 points a game or more. Defenses, you know, I mean, can't catch up with us, so their offense then can't run the football. It becomes one-dimensional. That makes your pass rush look better. But that's hard to get your head around, isn't it?
I know. It's such a slim chance, but hey, a boy can dream.
Hey, harder to get your head around. Somebody pays Jimmy Garoppolo to play football. Here is Jimmy. He's excited to get back on the field, albeit as a backup for the Rams.
Yeah, I think the injuries are what they are. It's the NFL. Everyone's going to get hurt at some point. You just have to bounce back from and, you know, be the same person. But, I'm excited to start this new journey. It's I don't know exactly what is in store for me, but yeah, maybe reset, reinvent, whatever you want to call it. I'm just excited to get back on the football field and start slinging around with some new guys. So I love football. I love going out there with the guys. I love every bit of it. So I'm just excited to get back out there and start throwing again.
Two big passes that he couldn't make against the Chiefs in that Super Bowl that could have won the 49ers that championship for Shanahan.
Yeah, and
the deep ball, the underneath route to Kittle, that were big moments in the game that he didn't get.
And Mike, here's the thing, though. He was talking about being excited to be slinging it around again. There's two problems with that. One, he's suspended to start the season.
Yes.
And two, he's not starting.
Yeah, let's talk about what exactly is a therapeutic use exemption?
I mean, just messed up the TUE, really. That was, I hate to joke about it, but just messed up the TUE when I first got to Las Vegas, and yeah, bad timing, I guess.
Okay, that's the TUE.
Yeah.
There's okay. Some kind of stuff, and you get an exemption to use it. And he didn't use it properly. Thus, he doesn't get the exemption. Best way I can handle it. Hey, man, other stories today in the NFL. Blitz, Deontay Foreman signs with the Browns. You're kind of getting to like the lesser deals now. Is, you know, they're kind of more minimal as far as cap space.
He had a game, by the way, against the Falcons a couple of years ago where he had like 130 yards or something like that. He was an absolute beast.
Right. We talked yesterday, Chase Young. We mentioned, you know, and Carl always loves to make fun of Marcus Davenport, one of the stupidest picks in Saints history, if not in NFL draft history. Chase Young signs a deal with the Saints, and it looked like he was getting $13 million guaranteed. No sooner does he sign, you find out he's got neck surgery. He's got some issues in his neck. Yeah. According to Jonathan Jones of CBS Sports, he gets a signing bonus of $1.86 million, base salary $2.7 million. So basically, he's not getting anything close to $13 million. There are some other bonuses, per-game roster bonuses, so... It looks like the Saints are protecting themselves against some of the injury, but at first when you heard $13 million, just like you heard $180 million for Kirk Cousins, you got to kind of peel the layers of the onion to see what the money really is.
Yeah, the one thing they always say in the NFL, Mike, is you got to just look at the guarantee. The rest of it, you know what they call it, Mike? Window dressing. That's all that it is on these contracts.
Hey, man, biggest needs. I think we stumbled onto something. We're going to put that poll question. If by chance Marvin Harrison and the stuff he's pulling are not doing gets him to where we pick at 8, how can you refuse that? You can go to Dukes of Bell 929 on Twitter. We'll put that up in a minute. Come back. Falcons' biggest needs. Some would say it is not wide receiver next. Quick, the new schedule. The new schedule's out. No, they're not going to play 9 games because they're not getting paid to play 9 games. They're not going to play 9 games until ESPN gives them more money. But Georgia, we learned today, schedule is basically just a do-over of the 2024 schedule, but flipping the script so the home teams are now the away teams. So Texas and Alabama coming to play between the hedges in 2025.
Meet the new boss. Same as the old boss, Mike right. Bell. That's essentially the formula they're going with. And I don't get it. And I don't get it on several fronts. Because, Mike, here's the thing. If you're going to go all in, like the SEC and Big Ten are going all in, go all in. I mean, the cliche is there's no such thing as being half pregnant. Like, if you're going to make all these changes, if you're going to go out of your way to do more playoff teams, to realign the conferences, like, why are you penny-pinching in other areas? I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, like, the idea is pretty simple. Until they get a new TV deal, it's basically free milk and a cow. If I'm giving you that 9th game of the schedule, you're getting something that we didn't contract for. We contracted for an 8-game schedule. I mean, it's just simple greed. I mean, at the end of the day, it's just greed.
Yeah, right.
And because the SEC, like, I'm not knocking it. I mean, I support everybody's hustle in this world if you can make a dollar and a cent doing it. But it just drives me crazy because, you know, is you guys, I got a bunch of Florida friends. I got a ton of Georgia pals. Johnny, my buddy Captain Gary, all these guys have season tickets. I just don't want to see a directional school. I want to see big boy competition. I'd rather see somebody, you know, else from the SEC or somebody from a Power Five, which I think if we ever get to the super conference type thing, maybe we get to. But this is going to continue. I know as an FSU booster, and I got season tickets, I hate seeing those dog crap opponents. I want to see another ACC team, you know? But that's the business model. But
no
it is going to be great.
Warm-ups against UTEP to start the season.
Right. It will be cool, though, to see Alabama, Kentucky, Ole Miss, Texas. The Ole Miss game a couple years back was an expensive ticket, and I'm sure it will be again. But Texas Longhorns coming between the hedges. That'll be historic as well. More on that at 4 o'clock in the Dog Report. Really fell into something today, which we often do on Dukes and Bell, and that is Marvin Harrison, who Gus Johnson, of course, referred to as Maserati Marvin. Not that that was aggravating like 20 times a game. The dude is not working out for the pro day at Ohio State. A lot of people, the conventional wisdom is, okay, he's put the tape on. He's the number one hands-down wide receiver. He'll do stuff at his pro day in Columbus. And not happening. So the question we have at Dukes and Bell 929, if he fell to us at 8, how could you refuse the next Julio Jones potentially for the Atlanta Falcons, or maybe even better? 404-726-0929. If you guys want to talk about it again, 404-726-0929. I've banged the drum for years, dare I say decades, about the trenches and dedicating top picks to edge. It's a top-heavy edge rush. If you don't go edge in the first round, you're going to be back with Ebikadie and Harrison and guys that you're hoping will develop. But some would say Marvin Harrison with Drake London, the other speed elements you've added to this roster, with the most reliable delivery system since Matt Ryan 2016-17. Man, that'd be something to watch, wouldn't it?
Well, those top men that you're speaking of, Mike Bell, are basically going to be in one of two positions. If you can get a Marvin Harrison Jr. and you can somehow trade up into the back end of the first round to grab a Chop Robinson or maybe a Latu and fill both of those needs, I mean, my goodness, now we're cooking with gas.
Ty, when did I become Unc Jones on Twitter? Just hit us up and said, surely a team that drafted Pitts, Robinson would not pass on Harrison Jr. Well, this gets back to the argument about the best athlete. We talked earlier with Myles Garrett from Fox 5. Now, the edge rushers are higher than the corners. Joe Alt is higher than the edge rushers as far as the best athlete. So we just kind of decipher if we're picking at 8. And there's been a run. If somebody moves up and they go quarterback times 4 for the first 4 picks, then you could have a good shot. If somebody... and we don't know how these personnel guys think. We've seen stranger things have happened. Marvin Harrison was the consensus number one all offseason. And now all of a sudden, some of these draft boards, you see Malik Nabers, as you brought up earlier, Chris, are higher. Some guys think Roma Dunze is going to be a rock star in this league. But imagine the Falcons. I said it earlier. We drafted Vic Beasley when everybody wanted Todd Gurley. This would be very similar like the 2015.
Yeah, because if everybody wanted Jared Verse and then you went Marvin Harrison and you had to settle for a second-tier pass rusher, man. But as you said, the capability of the offense would be potentially historic levels because you're looking at no areas of weakness on your offense, especially with your skill position players. You have an A-level dynamic wide receiver 1 and 2. What should be an A-level tight end coming back off the injury. You have an A-level running back tandem, and you have, I'll be generous, a B-plus offensive line. If that doesn't score 30 points a game, I don't know what will.
Mr. Yo says, with a 3-4 defense, you need some big defensive linemen, athletic linebackers. And we like our linebackers. I like Turner, but if Marvin Harrison is sitting there at number 8, there's just no way you can pass him up. That would be like passing on, and he's got a video of rookie Randy Moss back in 1998. So that would certainly be interesting. Guys, it's now, you know, some of these conversations, I grant you, require the stars aligning. Like when we talked about Lamar Jackson a few years ago, that was a 1,000-to-1 shot because the Ravens always had the high ground to match. I used to argue that with Carl at the time.
It was never going to happen.
You know, the Fields thing was never even an option for the Falcons. It was just an option, you know, here. But now we get to something which truly is not hype. It's not sports talk fodder because there'll be some general managers potentially who say, I don't know about this. Is his 40 time? Is he now? Look, you've seen the tape. You've seen everything he's done in his career. But Marvin Harrison at 8, would you do it? All right, man, let's get to the phones real quick. We'll start off with Sean. Hey, Sean, you're in the game. Hey, man, if Harrison was there at 8, you pull the trigger?
Hey, man. I'm not pulling the trigger. I agree with you about just banging the drum on the trenches. Like, we've already went out and got Moore. We traded Ritter for Rondale Moore. I get it. I get how good he is, but my thing is, how many years in a row are we going to skip on a pass rusher? Like, if we go wide receiver over pass rusher in the first, my hairline is going to go back even further than it already is. I'm sick of it. I need trenches. I'm sorry. I need trenches, guys.
Yeah, Sean, appreciate the phone call. I agree for the most part, but if I'm Terry Fontenot and that position presents itself to me, my next thought immediately is, okay, how do I get back into the bottom half of the first round and make a trade so that I can still get another pass rusher? It might not be Verse and it might not be Turner, but if you can get Latu or if you can get Chop Robinson, you're still in good shape, and now your offense is top 2, top 3 in the NFL.
You know, we talk so much about, the Falcons and their history. I'll never forget the year that we moved up to get Julio Jones. Squidbilly, Bo Morgan, who you hear on the morning shift, he was our producer. I was working with David Pollack back then. And we talked to every single edge rusher. And it was J.J. Watt, and it was Ryan Kerrigan. Oh. It was Aldon Smith. All these guys that we thought, oh, this, we're going to go get edge rush. And, of course, we move up and make that big swing for the fences to get Julio. Elijah, hey, man, you're in the game, bro. If Harrison fell to 8, would you do it?
Terry Fontenot, I would make everybody think that I was going to do it and make somebody trade up to get him so I could get more picks. Because at the end of the day, we need trenches all day. We need cornerback help. We need all kinds of things. And I know we need offense too, but let's play this out and see what our offenses are this year. And next year, maybe we get something, but I would want more picks. I want more edge rushers. I want more cornerbacks. I want more picks, man.
It really is. It goes back, I said all the time, Carl and I, we did the draft show that day at Stats. It was 2015, and Vic Beasley was the need. Vic Beasley was a solid guy with a bunch of sacks coming off his rep from Clemson. And as a four-year starter, I want to say. But Todd Gurley was there. And it was like, wow. Now, granted, parallel universe, if Gurley plays here, does he still have the arthritis in the knee and all that? You don't know. But it certainly would have gotten people fired up. And, guys, the only reason I would maybe agree with it is we got a three-year window with Kirk Cousins. We got 3 years to get to the Super Bowl. You know, and in the meantime, you hope that you draft right, find the next quarterback, the heir apparent. But they've basically shown you their cards. This is where we're trying to go. What we're trying to do. Ken, man, would you do Harrison at 8 if he fell to the Falcons? Hey, man.
Oh, no. Hey, man. Listen, when they drafted Kyle Pitts, I was having problems with that. My God, we need an end. I get it. But what we spend our time getting these other players for, if we saw, I mean, we got to use what we got. We need a D. Our draft need to be defensive end and cornerback. 1 and 2. It looks good. It's a flashy car, right. But man, if you ain't got no good engine, that car don't look like nothing but a car that's just sitting in the garage. We gotta get pressure. Our sack totals are atrocious.
Right on, man. So I feel you. I get it. I'm just feeling if you think this guy's gonna be the transformative piece, a guy that gets a gold jacket like his dad. Sometimes it'd be hard to pick. Yeah, I went back. I was looking at the draft. So Bo was our producer, and he did a great job. We spoke to Cameron Jordan. We spoke to Adrian Claiborne that year because it was a lock. You know, the Falcons are picking later in the draft, right? So, well, you know, we're going to have to try to get the edge rush we need. But Dimitroff felt, no. The way you beat Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, who had just beaten us the year before in the divisional round, it wasn't to go get him on the ground. It was to go get the guy who was going to help you outscore them. And look, I'm not debating Julio Jones' legacy here. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. We spoke to Vaughn Miller that year. I mentioned Aldon Smith. We spoke to Robert Quinn. And we went and moved up and got Julio. And we were a Julio catch and 3 knees and a field goal from winning the Super Bowl with it. So I get the logic behind it. And 16 was a year that we drafted defense because we made all the moves that were offseason. We're offense. It was Alex Mack that year, remember?
Got to give a shout out before we go to break to John on Twitter. He says, run to the podium if that happens. And then Devon quote tweets him and says, nah. You teleport that thing up to Goodell to get Marvin Harrison Jr. to Atlanta.
Hey, man, the Dominator and Dustin. We got more guys on hold. 404-726-0929. We'll come back. We'll keep this thing rolling. If Marvin Harrison, because of his, call it antics, and not doing the work that some scouts and personnel people are expecting him to do, somehow fell, combining that with a run on quarterbacks to 8, would you draft him? 404-726-0929. More of your comments next. Got breaking news from Grapefruit League. Kelnick has 2 hits today, raising his average to 111. So stop the hate, Chris. Stop the hate.
He's over. What does he need to get to next? The Mendoza line will
200
be his next.
Be the best. Look, it's spring training. We don't know how this guy operates. Jared Kelnick, for those who don't remember, we traded for him from Seattle. 2 guys are both getting Tommy John surgery, so it didn't really mean anything. We didn't lose anything. But, yeah, he's been struggling. And Mark Bowman earlier today from MLB Network was like, come on, get off his back. But we don't know how this guy operates. I mean, they were a little freaked out enough to go make a pretty cheap phone call to Adam Duvall, right, and get him in there to platoon in left field. But for what it's worth, he's up to 111.
Yay.
Stay tuned on that. We got some dog report. What the SEC, if you missed earlier, the new schedule. New schedule's out for 2025, what that's going to look like, and more of the fallout from Clemson's lawsuit coming up. Right now, though, if you're just getting in the car, how you been? We're talking about a potential situation, which, you know, this one, I got to be honest. I set it up earlier, Chris. It's not crazy. And this starts with Marvin Harrison Jr. not working out at the combine, then deciding to not work out at the pro day for his fellow Buckeyes in Columbus, which a number of people, both former personnel guys, media types, our friend Mina Kynes just put it out there saying this could be a red flag for some personnel guys, you know. And this isn't like old angry Bill Polian white guy crap. This is just legitimate. Why aren't you running a 40? I need to know what your 40 time is to see how you stack up against the supposed other elite wide receivers, you know, like Neighbors, you know, like Roma Dunze, etc. So guys, if the quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4, or somebody moves into that top 5, and all of a sudden somebody gets a mean on for Marvin Harrison's antics, would you take him at 8, knowing we need corner? But more than anything, we need edge rush. And if you feel that Dallas Turner or Jared versus those guys, you have to do it. Or do you? Let's go to Dominic, man, see what the guys have to say. Dominic, would you take Marvin Harrison at 8? Hey, man.
I would take the edge rusher. We need an edge rusher bad. Mm. You can always get receivers through free agency and through the draft. But we need edge rushers. That's why our defense is so poor anyway. We need that. And the second thing we need is a cornerback.
Right. I'm with you. We looked at the numbers. Look at the numbers. The Falcons, like the last 5 years, 6.5, 5, 4.5, 4.5 sacks. That's the leaders.
Team leader.
Yeah. I mean, 6.5 between Calais and Bud Dupree last year before Grady had like 5. Dante Fowler Jr. with 4.5. Debo with 4.5. 2019, Vic had 8. Tack had 7 in 20. These are anemic sack numbers.
Pathetic.
Right. And this goes back. I mean, even, you know, the 1 year that Vic popped was 16. We talked about that. That would be the byproduct of having a dynamic offense. An offense that would be really dynamic with a guy like Marvin Harrison. It's the classic argument. Now, I got nothing against Julio. You know how I feel. Hall of Famer. Don't know the man. Never had a player that was so good for so long here that I've spoken to less on the radio than Julio Jones.
Sounds like a gigantic butt is on its way.
Oh, there's a butt coming. But if you go back and look, and I said this earlier, so I'm covering all my bases in the argument. If Shanahan and Sergeant Slogan could have gotten their heads together during the Super Bowl and realized, let's just stop the bleeding with the Patriots, take a knee, run the football, and kick a field goal. And Matt Bryant was as death and taxes, so reliable. And then you win. But we didn't. But Julio should have provided the onus to get you that win. But we moved up 20 spots to get Julio in 2011. We could have moved up for Vaughn Miller, J.J. Watt. Could have stayed where we were for Cameron Jordan or Cameron Hayward, Ironhead's son, who's had a great career in Pittsburgh. Also Ryan Kerrigan, who had a 10-year career in Washington. So those are all guys. It's the argument. Dimitroff felt you outscore the team as opposed to you try to knock their quarterbacks ding-dong in the dirt. I think this year we got to go get the edge rusher. But it is Marvin Harrison Jr.
Well, that's what our Twitter poll is saying right now. 70-30. With hundreds and hundreds of votes pouring in already, that you take Marvin Harrison Jr.
All right, let's go to Dustin. Hey, D, man, what do you got for us? Would you take Harrison at 8 if he was there? Hey, man.
No, I would not. I definitely have to say with the other guys talking about getting a pass rusher, but this has been our issue for years is being able to find talent in the other rounds. That's been our biggest issue. Mm. It's like, all the talent is in the Southeast, and you know you can build your team around the Southeast. I'm a Georgia Bulldog fan, and I'm just saying we go all the way across the country looking for talent, and it's right here. Right. It is right here in our backyard, and we don't even try to even look at it. And it's frustrating because there is so much talent here. We just let it go, and pass rush definitely, and you can always find your wide receiver in the second or third round.
Right,
but I would definitely load up the trenches, and pass rush is what we need badly, anything.
I'm with you. And the argument, guys, and again, I don't necessarily agree with it, but this goes back to the best athlete available. The team, the way we've drafted, the general manager has shown you, he takes the best athlete. Marvin Harrison is a better athlete by everybody's metrics right now over Dallas Turner and Jared Verse, and even Joe Alt. So, and the corners we've talked about. So you wonder if, you know, if past is prologue, we might just do it. Let's see. We got Rumeel. Hey, man, you're in the game with Dukes and Bell. What would you do at 8?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
I wouldn't take Harrison, but that would be such an Atlanta thing to do, so I could see them doing that. But I would go defensive end. But if I did go offense, I'll go get old BB out of Georgia, old Brock Bowers, man. The damn good dog and move Kyle Pitts out there to wide receiver.
Yeah, but that's the thing. They're not. I hear you. Pitts is still, despite his athleticism,
they're giving him at least one more year.
Yeah, it's one more year for Pitts, and I get it. I know a lot of – and Brock is so tantalizing as well. But and with no disrespect to Brock, Harrison Jr. is the prototypical – until he doesn't want to run the 40, about super athletic, tremendous route runner. Everything his dad did, he does, basically. And
Mike,
his dad's a Hall of Famer.
67 receptions, 1,200 yards, and 14 touchdowns in college.
Yeah.
This year. Come on, man.
But –
wow.
But you know, Dallas Turner, the edge rusher, bam. I watched every single game of Jared versus career at Florida State. Got better and better each year. He's the hand in the dirt, go kill somebody guy that you want. Hard to say no. We've talked about it. We came up close, so close with Julio. It's a great question. Would we have gotten there? Because people forget, Roddy is still the all-time leading receiver for this team. But would we have gotten there had we gone edge rush and found somebody else in that draft? It was not a great – that draft, only two wide receivers were worth a damn. It was A.J. Green and Julio Jones. This draft has got a ton of wide receivers, two tiers clearly, but the top four going obviously in the top 15.
There are also, as we keep mentioning, another tier of pass rushers too. There's two other guys.
But that's the thing. I don't want to do that because I got in that Arnold Ebiketie. He was tier two. You know, they took a flyer on Zach Harrison. He was the guy that replaced Chase Young at Ohio State. He's never really been the guy. But he looks the part. I mean, he looks like Ray Edwards.
Yeah,
he looks
popped.
Like a dude to go rip your head off.
He popped at the end of the season.
But is that going to continue? That's the big bet. Reggie, hey, man, you're on 92.9 The Game on Dukes and Bell. What would you do at 8? If Harrison fell to you, would you do it?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. The answer, there's two of them. The answer is no for the first one. Marvin Harrison is not going to lose a dime of value by not attending that program. Number two, okay, you're talking about at the 8th position, the Falcons can get the best defensive player in the college draft.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you want to give that up, particularly when defense wins games?
I'm with you. Brother, I'm with you. That's why I wanted us to not go draft Julio in 2011. But all those other dudes I mentioned, I'm with you 100%.
But I'll tell you
cannot
why,
keep this franchise cannot keep paying lip service to edge rush. Like, it is literally done for the 25 years I've lived here.
The caller asked why. I'll tell you why. 67 receptions, 1,200 yards, and 14 touchdowns.
But this goes back to, as I said, would you rather had Gurley or Vic Beasley? Could we have won? Would Vic Beasley been? Would Gurley been the piece to put us over the top?
They both flamed out.
Yeah, but Todd got paid. Todd was, for one time, a bona fide MVP candidate in the league before the arthritis caught up to him. We got time for a few more. Is it Carlos up next? Not at the table, Carlos. Hey, man, you're in the game. What you got, brother?
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
Hey, guys. In the words of Coach Mike Singletary, I can't win with them. Don't want Marvin Harrison. We need defense. I haven't owned a defensive jersey since John Abraham, and that is no disrespect to Grady.
Right.
But we need defense, guys. We need somebody who strikes fear in quarterbacks, especially now that we don't have opposing elite quarterbacks right now in the division. Like, let's go out there and get the guy that's going to, you know, take some heads off. I'm still hurting over the T.J. Watt, not picking him.
Right. I tell you, that's the one where we got some bad intel. For those who don't remember, it was Jim Mora Jr. You can blame him. Apparently, he got in Dan Quinn or Dimitrov's ear and said, oh, this Tack McKinley guy, this guy's a fire breather. So we moved up a little bit, and not to get T.J. Watt, but to go get Tack McKinley. And I can't give you revisionist history. One thing, guys, if I screw something up, I'm going to tell you I'll own it because I wanted Glenn Dorsey over Matt Ryan because I thought defense wins championships back in 08. And I also thought, remember Carl and I coming on the radio, wow, Tack seems like he's nuts, like in a good way. Maybe we'll have a little loco. We could use some of that edge. And the high water mark was the year he led the team in sacks, but it still wasn't double digit. And then the rest was kind of history. Just kind of flaked out on us. You got to get defense, man. Harrison decided not to work out. He didn't do anything at the NFL combines. Decides to not run routes at his pro day. They said, not surprising. This is an article from The Athletic up in Columbus. With Harrison taking his pro day off, the only opportunity teams will get a chance to see him is a private in-person workout. And there's still no word yet from his camp if Harrison is going to let you put him on the clock. That would really tell. If teams that want wide receiver in the top five and he turns down a trip on the private plane to go run a 40, what do you make of that?
Is Terry on the horn right now?
And the only reason, guys, we're having this conversation, which people are freaking out over, is the fact that the general manager has told you he'll take the best athlete. Whether or not it's a need, don't matter. Kyle Pitts was not the biggest need in 2021. We'll come back. More guys, if we got time, we'll squeeze your calls in at 404-726-0929. More on college football. The new schedule is out. But nothing changes for the SEC because, well, it's all about the coin.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.